Now, do you feel safer now? Do you think you will anytime soon? Do you think duct tape and Kleenex and color codes will make you safer? From Death Row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal. These commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.
This is Free Speech Radio News. I'm Deepa Fernandez.
And this is WBAI New York, where it's exactly 7 o'clock. And watch, it's 7:01 now. But it's still time for Off the Hook. Good evening to everybody. Bergman's Off the Hook here on WBAI. We have Jeff joining us on the phone from San Diego, is it?
Yes, San Diego, where it's exactly about a couple minutes after 4 o'clock.
I don't know how they do that, but that's fascinating. It's a couple minutes after 7 o'clock here in New York. And we're here
miracles
for...
Miracles of technology.
We're here for another exciting edition of Off the Hook, where all kinds of... exciting things will be reported on. I'd like to start off, actually, on kind of a, I guess a lighter note, only because we have so many heavy notes to start off on, usually, and to finish off with. But let's start with, how about a little game, okay?
Okay.
Where I call something, and somebody guesses what it is. How's that? Oh, wait, I've got to turn your microphone on. There you go, Mike.
Oh, I said it sounds like fun.
It is fun. It's meant to be fun.
Okay, I got a rules question.
It better be fun, all right?
When do we guess? After we hear it? Or do we hear the touchstones?
What you'll do, since this is radio, you'll hear what I'm going to play. You'll raise your hands. And I'll call on the first person that raises their hand.
What if Jeff is the first person?
I'll call out my hands raised.
Yeah, Jeff can blurt out.
All right.
I don't know. Okay. So basically, okay, let's do this. Not waste any more time. Let's get a dial tone here. And Jeff, you're going to hear dialing, so don't be confused.
All right.
All right.
Don't guess based on the dialing.
No. Well, that'd be a neat trick if you could do that. Okay. Again, I have to. I wish you were here to hold the phone, Jeff, because these buttons are.
I hear the dialing too.
I'm sorry, guys.
There we go. You have to be quiet.
AT&T. おかけになる電話番号を市外局番から入力してください。国際電話には01を押してから国番号、市外局番と電話番号を入力してください。
Nobody?
I'll make a wild, wild guess.
Go ahead, Jim.
It's some sort of Japanese language.
Okay, no.
Wait a minute, let me finish.
You got it right already.
What?
I just wanted the language, that's all. It's obviously AT&T, we know that much.
Oh.
All right.
But we don't...
That's very good. That's right. Jim was the only one who knew that, except for me, of course.
Is it the long distance?
Sorry, hold on. I don't have your mic.
Oh,
wait. Let me get rid of it. All right. Please be quiet. Uh-oh. Okay, we almost talked to a live person in Japan or something.
Is it a Japanese long distance operator?
It's what Japanese people are supposed to do when they want to talk to AT&T. They're supposed to call that number.
So it's a long-distance operator from Japan.
Apparently.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Japanese people where? Here?
I don't know. Maybe
it's an 800
number? If you want to hang on, we could talk to them and ask them.
No.
Yeah, it's an 800 number. It's an 800 number. All right. Good. Now, Jim, you're ahead by one.
One weird thing is, if you ever call Japan and get a wrong number, they say the error message in Japanese and then in English.
Well, a lot of things in Japan are both in English
but
and Japanese. No, because I think this is geared towards people here in the United States specifically calling that 800 number because they're Japanese.
I thought I heard the word New York. So
yeah, me too.
Well, maybe you did. I don't know. But let's move on to something else here. All right. What should the other one be? Let's go over here. Again, Jeff, you're going to hear dialing. Please don't be confused.
All right.
Okay, everybody quiet.
AT&T. Пожалуйста, наберите код города и местный номер.
Yes, Leo.
It's Russian.
Russian, that's very good. So,
I
wasn't sure because, you know, some people told me that you were just spoofing the accent and you really, you know, were just from Staten Island.
Oh, I am.
You really are Russian. Or, I mean, you might have just known that, but, all right, what's she saying?
But I'm saying dial the number that you're trying to call or push something, and I missed that word for operator. Probably zero or something.
Maybe sure.
Please hold for the operator.
Okay, let's get rid of her then. Okay. All right, so we have Japanese and Russian. All right. I'm going to call one more, then we're going to get into the show, because I don't think you're going to get this one.
Okay.
All right. And then we can have our listeners join in as well. This will be fun. Isn't this much better than starting off with all the doom and gloom we usually do? I mean, that's still coming. Don't worry about that. All right. Now listen carefully.
AT&T. Pakidayan po lamang ang area code at number na inyong tinatawagan. Para sa mga international calls, pakidayan po ang 01, country code, city code, at local...
English!
O pakipress po ngayon ang 0 para sa operator.
Good guess, Jeff, but wrong.
English?
No.
Play it again?
I'm not going to play it again. I was going to say one more.
Dial po lamang ang number na inyong tinatawagan o pakipress ang 0 ngayon para sa operator.
Korean?
No, it's not Korean.
Pigdin English?
All right. Now, look. We're going to open this up to our listeners since we're obviously...
Hintay po lamang ang tulong ng operator.
All right. This is where we get off.
AT&T.
Oops. They play the English recording. I bet they speak whatever this language is. So if anyone out there knows what language that is, please give us a call, 212-209-2900, and you'll win. And you'll win even more if you can tell us where this is spoken. All right. See how we built that up? We made it. Don't look at the paper. How we made it more challenging. Okay, so what's up in the news? Jeff, you're down there in San Diego. What's going on? You had any adventures getting over there?
Oh yeah, no, it's good fun. You were sorry I wasn't there to hold the phone, but I have to tell you, it's 80 degrees here. The sun's shining. I'm not sorry.
You pig.
Well, I'd be sorry if it was 80 degrees here. I'll tell you what. I mean, it's, you know, I wish it would snow here again. In fact, I think it's going to snow again tomorrow.
Yes.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, this has been the best winter ever. But let's not talk about the weather. Did you have any fun experiences on your way out, like say on the airplane, for instance?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay.
It was. I know what you mean. It was very interesting in the fact that I had to bring things out here to California that are stainless steel in nature, And since they've changed the laws as of December 15th, that you can no longer carry 70 pounds of luggage per bag, it's down to 50 pounds. So I had to ship some of the things out of my luggage into my partner. So he wound up taking some of these pieces of stainless steel.
Can you
his, not
can,
not carry on?
That sounds awfully suspicious, Jeff. What do you mean pieces of stainless steel? What is that?
It's a it's a tool for the ceramic industry. It is an artist's ceramic tool.
Okay, and you're at some kind of convention that has to do with ceramics, right?
This right now I'm out here at the Town and Country Convention Center in San Diego. At what's called NCECA, the National Council for the Education in Ceramic Arts. And it's just a nice big... anyone who's anyone that's involved in the ceramic industry is here.
And they must all be trading stories on what they had to go through to get there, through
everyone,
airports. Yeah.
Everyone has a story. It's amazing what they're going through. Because you got to imagine artists, potters, they're not, you know, the easiest person. They have a hard enough time just traveling and following, walking in a straight line, let alone... You can't do this, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But what had happened was when we got back to the room late last night, we noticed that his bag had been sealed. So he had this, yeah, I need a knife or something. I can't get this. We didn't seal this. What's going on? So I broke the seal. We opened it up. And then as I was pulling things out, I found this notification of baggage inspection.
Inside the bag?
Inside the bag. Sealed inside the bag.
How was the bag sealed?
They used a white plastic tie wrap.
Uh-huh.
So those zip wraps, you know, those pieces, the cable wraps, they call them, too.
Okay.
We didn't have one on to begin with, but they put one on once it got there. And at the top of the page is the Transportation Security Administration and their logo, and the notification of baggage inspection. And if you'd like, I can read this to you.
Yeah, go ahead, read it.
To protect you and your fellow passengers, the Transportation Security Administration, TSA, is required by law, asterisk, and they mention the law on the back, to inspect all checked baggage. As part of this process, some bags are opened and physically inspected. Your bag was among those selected for physical inspection. During the inspection, your bag and its contents may have been searched for prohibited items. At the completion of the inspection, the contents will return to your bag, which was resealed with a tamper-evident seal. If the TSA screener was unable to open your bag for inspection because it was locked, the screener may have been forced to break the locks on your bag. TSA security regrets having to do this and has taken care to reseal your bag upon completion of inspection. However, TSA is not liable for damage to your locks resulting from this necessary security precaution. You flip it over, it says smart security saves time. For packing tips and other suggestions that may assist you during your next trip, visit www.tsatraveltips.us. We appreciate your understanding and cooperation. If you have questions, comments, or concerns, please feel free to contact Transportation Security Administration Consumer Response Center. Phone toll free at 866-289-9673, and the email is telltsa@tsa.gov, and then the word .gov.
Why would they put an extra dot in there? That's just to confuse people?
It's I don't know, but it literally is the word TSA, then the little dot, and then the letters DOT. I guess maybe that's Department of Transportation, I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it is. Yeah, so it's tsa.gov.
Yeah. No,
dot gov. Yeah.
Oh, you're right. Dot gov. Oh, that's just silly.
Dot gov.
So now they can destroy your lock, but they don't have to replace it. They can say that was necessary.
No, but they will resecure your bag. But you are kind of, from what I understand, you're instructed now not to lock your bags.
Mm-hmm.
So it just seems kind of, you know, gee, that means anyone that's still handling the bags, if they feel like opening the zipper, they can...
Why would people lock the bag in the first place, you know? Maybe it's something valuable in your luggage.
There you go.
It's possible. All right, so, but you made it safely. You didn't even know that you were being searched.
No, didn't know. And the amazing thing is, he was the one that got wanded as we were going through,
uh-huh.
Even though his bag had been checked somewhere else. For some reason, it seems like whoever I travel with, whether it's Bernie S., my friend Tom... They're the ones that get the whole routine. I breeze through. I I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. You just bring everyone down with you, and then you stay up.
Exactly.
Great tactic there. Do you think they knew that this person's bags were being searched somewhere else in the airport, and that's why they wanted him?
No, I don't think so at all, because it happened to two totally different sections, two totally different areas. There was no way to really connect the two. I did thoroughly look at and screen the boarding passes for any kind of irregularity between his and mine.
Mm-hmm.
See if there was anything that may have acted as a flag or a warning. Nothing.
Interesting.
Nothing.
Well, the color coding has not yet started. That's going to start soon with Delta, and I understand some other airlines as well will be. Well, obviously, other airlines are going to be involved. I mean, think how stupid it would be if it was just announced that Delta was going to have the passenger screening system where they check your credit report and your bank account. I don't know what your bank account and credit report have to do with how safe you are to travel. It seems like you'll be able to create a whole class of people that can't travel because they didn't pay their last MasterCard bill or something. I don't know. But
now there is another interesting point. A friend of mine left for his trip. He's out in Las Vegas at a different show.
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me that because he basically is traveling with someone who got both of their seats upgraded to first class passengers didn't have to hassle with any kind of security like the rest. They breezed right through.
Really?
Yeah, that was his comment to me is, no, it wasn't a problem. We just went and got right on the plane.
Well, they had to go through security first, though, didn't they?
But it was not, they were not detained, wanded. It was just a quick breeze right through.
Well, who would fly first class and be a terrorist? Come on.
Well,
I mean, that's just beyond the realm of possibility. Interesting. Well, I'm glad you made it there safely. Of course, you still have to make it back, so I'm sure you'll have more stories to tell us next week.
Yes, probably.
I notice we have, if anyone out there, okay, I see the phones are ringing, but if anyone out there has a specific guess as to that language, I'd like them to call now. Everybody else will take your calls later. In fact, don't call now because it'll just be confusing. That's we just want to get that out of the way. So if people do have a particular idea as to what that language was, please call us 212-209-2900, and we'll, oh, look at that. A lot of people seem to know. It's, remember, we're just talking about that right now. I'll take more general calls later. So I apologize if I'm rude to anybody that doesn't follow those instructions. Let's see who's out there. And good evening. Oh, a double click. I hung right up on that person. Sorry. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hello, Emmanuel.
Hi.
Is it Ty?
No, it is not. Sorry, you are wrong.
All right.
Let us move on to the next person. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hello?
Go ahead. Do you have your guess?
Philippine?
Nope. Well,
okay.
Actually, you have to give me the exact name of the language.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, okay. Thanks anyway.
I got it.
All right, what is it?
I got it, too.
Tagalog?
That's right. Well, you see, you know, that was too much. That is the Philippine language, right?
Well, there's more than one, but that's the main one.
A Philippine language, yeah. I couldn't say.
I honestly
it's not
had that as a guess, but it was down on my list.
Okay, all right. See how how challenging something like that could be. All right, I'll give you another one to think about for a little while.
Okay.
And thanks to the person who sent this in, by the way.
Well, why don't you acknowledge them? And
they specifically didn't want to be acknowledged.
Oh. Well, I know who it is then.
AT&T, 请bấm số khu vực và số điện thoại mà quý vị muốn gọi. Nếu gọi ra ngoại quốc, xin bấm số 0 và số 1 trước, sau đó đến số của quốc gia, số của thành phố và của người ở địa phương đó.
Okay, okay. No, it's not Klingon. Leo, you have a guess.
I'm guessing again Korean or Chinese.
You can't have two guesses. Guess one.
Okay, Korean.
No, you're wrong. Jim, you had your hand up. Were you just scratching?
I was thinking, but now I'm not so sure.
Okay, best be quiet. And Mike, you actually have a guess. Go ahead.
I'm going to say some variant of Chinese.
Well, I think a lot of people would find that very insulting.
Right.
Okay, then I got to go with my guess that it's got to be Vietnamese.
Very good. You were right. Yeah. You were absolutely right. Never doubt yourself, Jim.
All right. Yes, that's true. When I doubt myself, I...
All right. Let's look at a couple of listener pieces of mail. And let's see. This person took exception to the fact that we mentioned the typo to the... was ready.gov. I mentioned, I knew somebody was going to be upset by this, that, you know, I said that someone had to get up and go to the office and fix it. Obviously, this person, you do know that technically is nonsense, right? They could be running Apache on a Linux box. They can deal with such things remotely. The sad part is that what they can do may not be what they are aware of being able to do, and some poor schmuck may actually have gone to the office to deal with it. It brightens my day for some reason. And that's why I said it, because I like to think of people getting up in the middle of the night and going to the office to fix something that they could fix online, you know, easily. And I just think that that might be the way that they do things. But, of course, yeah, they can probably fix it online, as could anybody probably, because I'm sure they have very easy-to-guess passwords in the first place. Let's see. This person had some comments on transporting large amounts of cash through airports. You might be interested in this, Jeff. Not that you're transporting large amounts of cash, but you are going through airports. Jim? Jeff, I'm sorry. Listening to your talk on March 5th, which is last week, and your discussion about cash through an airport, yes, more than $10,000 is illegal. However, not only is it illegal, but you are liable to have money confiscated. You are liable to have that money confiscated and never get it back.
Oh, yeah.
A TV magazine did a story about this on a man who had a landscaping and plant business who had around $12,000 in his possession in cash when going through an airport within the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
The feds, he doesn't remember what department they were exactly, they confiscated the money. The show investigated this man and his claims. They found his business is legitimate and he was traveling for his business. The feds related they assumed that he was carrying cash for a drug purchase and said that they did not have to give the money back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's,
what possible logic dictates that they don't have to give money back that was legitimately obtained? Someone explain that.
It was the DEA, and their logic is that the forfeiture laws allow them to keep... Is the mic on? Okay. And the forfeiture laws allows them to keep what they can consider to be evidence of a crime even without arresting you, even.
But the point was he was proven to be involved in the crime.
They can confiscate your property without arresting you and not give it back.
But, I mean, the guy was proven not to have...
That's what I mean. That's the, usually, the cases mentioned during criticisms of forfeiture laws, which allow the government to take property without arresting.
Not from innocent people. People have arrested yet. People they're investigating, yes, but when the investigation is over.
There's nothing that says that they have to arrest you.
Well, this is ridiculous. This flies in the face of every conceivable law I can think of.
But so do a lot of other laws.
Well, okay. this is insane. You're saying if you go in there, you take $12,000 out of your bank account and you decide to carry it to another city, that mm-hmm. the federal government is going to take that from you and not give it back.
But they could.
Well, yeah. They have the right to, and they don't have to give it back to you. Regardless, this is your life savings. This is something that you had absolutely nothing to do with drugs or anything like that.
Constitutionally, it's illegal. But, I mean, they don't follow the Constitution.
Well, I just...
Yes,
call me, you know, naive or something, but I just find that very hard to believe that can actually be allowed to happen. And let's see if it's true. I mean, I don't know anybody who has more than $10,000, but if there is anybody out there that does, please, you know, maybe put a sign on you saying I'm carrying more than $10,000 in cash and see what happens.
Someone else might take it from you.
Well, someone else, yeah, there's always that possibility, but maybe you should carry, like, several different packages then, just in case.
I've heard rumors that there's a... this device that scans the magnetic strips inside dollar bills, as in more than $1. So when you walk through
that... Yeah, I've heard that rumor a million times, you know, they can track who has a lot of money and who doesn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, show me it in practice, and you know, I'll believe it then. Jeff, what do you think about that?
I don't know. I don't think anyone should have their money taken from them, but you got to stop and think. If you can walk around with $12,000 cash, you probably won't miss it.
That's not entirely true. You know, there have been cases. In fact, I had conversations with my friend Rob over in Amsterdam because we both published magazines back, you know, this is in the early 90s. And back then, for some reason, I don't know why we did things this way, but we would pay for it in cash as far as getting the thing printed. You know, various printers back then seemed to prefer it that way. And so you would actually be walking around with, like, you know, $10,000 or $20,000 in cash for, you know, at least a few minutes. And it was pretty nerve-wracking doing that, but there are legitimate reasons for actually walking around with that amount of cash. With, you know, I mean, what, drug dealers could take checks, I'm sure, you know? They could just say it's for something else. They could do that. I mean, there's all kinds of money orders. There's all kinds of possibilities. Credit cards. I don't know. If anyone's had this experience, I'd just like to know. That's and, you know, you must get something back when they take that amount of money. They must give you a receipt saying, we took $12,000 from you. You know, I just would like to see one of those receipts someplace. I doubt they just rob you and don't leave you with anything. I don't know. That's doesn't seem right.
You're right.
Yeah. What else do we have here? The case of the stolen sandwich. Have you heard about this?
No.
In Des Moines, Iowa, the Federal Transportation Safety Administration is dealing with the case of Christine Woods, who says her sandwich was taken from a break room at the Des Moines airport. The only ones who have access to the room are 16 federal security workers. They have to punch a code into a keypad to get in. Police Lieutenant David Huberty says the theft of a sandwich is still a theft, but he says if he were to send a detective to interview 16 people about it, it would be an inappropriate use of resources. The woman whose sandwich is gone says she's afraid a wallet or purse could disappear next time. Well, God forbid, another sandwich. Well, you know, they found that kid today after God knows how long they were missing, so, you know, the sandwich could always turn up.
What kid?
The kid from Utah that was missing.
What kid?
Somebody's...
I don't know the name of the kid. Some kid was missing from Utah for a bunch of months, and they found it. They found
Smart,
it.
Elizabeth
yeah,
Smart?
Yeah, Elizabeth Smart. They found it.
Really?
Yeah.
Alive?
Yeah, alive.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
And she was mad, too. She was mad that nobody found her up until now.
I'd be mad, too.
Yeah. She was, like, hiding in the bushes outside her parents' house. You know, she didn't think they were taking her
okay,
seriously.
Okay, this
you know.
Is not funny.
No, it's not funny. It's never funny. What else? A U.S. Army soldier accompanies Afghan workers inside the army base in Bagram, Afghanistan. Why? To plant the flag of cyberspace. That's right. Afghanistan has officially activated its .af internet domain name. That happened on Monday. The effort, a joint collaboration between the UN Development Program and the Afghan Ministry of Communications, marks a giant technological leap for a country where the internet was banned for years during the former Taliban regime. But it is likely to be a long time before the average impoverished Afghan citizen will be able to afford to explore the new possibilities. Equivalent to a country code for telephone numbers, the .af internet suffix has now been reserved exclusively for private and official email and worldwide web users in Afghanistan. Afghanistan is officially planting its flag in cyberspace, gaining full legal and technical control of the .af internet domain. The .af domain was first registered with the Internet Assigned Numbers Authority in October 1997 by a private Afghan citizen named Abdul Razik, according to Amal Majan, an advisor to the Minister of Communications. According to the IANA website, however, Razik later disappeared, and some services were halted to the .af domain. It's probably in Cuba, I would guess. All those people in Afghanistan disappeared while I'm up there. Efforts to relaunch it began again after the Taliban were ousted in a U.S.-led war in late 2001. For Afghanistan, this is like reclaiming part of our sovereignty. Must feel good, huh?
We should get a .af domain.
Why?
I'm trying to think. Why not? I'm trying to think of what we could spell.
Well, maybe the Air Force is interested in
I've
using
got an
it
idea.
Since Afghanistan can't really use it right now.
I have an idea.
What's that?
G.af and wait to be sued for cyber squatting.
Yeah, well, we won't have to wait very long for that. Two Japanese people were arrested for allegedly hacking into bank accounts through the internet and stealing $136,000. Police suspect 35-year-old Ko Hakata, his first syllable of his name is Hack, isn't that something? A former computer software developer who is now unemployed, and Goru Nakahashi, his first syllable is Nak, a 27-year-old businessman, robbed the unidentified bank's accounts from a computer at a Tokyo cafe on September 18th. They allegedly downloaded software from the internet that detects what keys previous users of the computer punched. They then figured out the passwords that five people had used to access their bank accounts online. Who accesses their bank accounts online from an internet cafe? You do?
Oh, not from a cafe, no.
Okay. I have serious doubts about your intelligence if you did that. Yes, it's not a good idea to access personal. Even if you're using an encrypted connection, even if it's, you know, using a password, you know, you can still have a keystroke logger. And unless you have control of the machine you are using, it's a very bad idea to trust that another machine is secure. There's many ways that security can be breached, and that's just one of them. Anyway, they transferred a total of $141,000 from those accounts to another bank, and using an alias, Nakahashi allegedly withdrew $136,000. And they tried to go through an airport. Police refused to say when the two men, who haven't been charged, were detained. They also would not comment on what happened to the $5,000 that was not withdrawn, saying only $136,000 had been stolen. If charged with theft, they could face up to 10 years in prison. And according to the Asahi newspaper, which is a major national daily, they say the two men allegedly tried to use about 100 computers at 13 different internet cafes around Tokyo. So this involves Citibank Japan, by the way.
Yeah, that last makes very little sense.
What, that they were hopping around looking for
victims? Yeah. That's the supposition that I assumed, but without that supposition, it makes very little sense.
Uh-huh. Interesting. Okay, Jim, I got a question for you.
Oh.
Well, you know about the hike in transit fares.
Yes,
which
I do.
I'm pretty upset about.
I am, too.
I'm extremely upset by this.
Well, you know, I'm sort of disassociated from them, as you've noticed. But anyway.
Well, yeah, you were expelled from them, I know. But still, I hold you responsible because you are the transit connection here.
Well, wait one moment. Don't hold me responsible.
Well, I'm sorry. That's just the way it is.
All right, go on.
Yeah, it's like being an American abroad. You know, you're going to be blamed no matter what.
Okay, I accept that analogy.
Okay, so here's the thing, all right? The rates went up 33%.
The rates will go up, not have gone up.
All right,
up.
May 1st or whatever, they're going to go up 33%, 25% for commuter lines.
Yes.
Unbelievable. Okay, so rides will be $2 now instead of $1.50.
Right.
You know, I can even live with that. I really can. It's not that bad. It's bad, but it's not that bad. What upsets me the most is what they did to the Fun Pass, which was $4. $4, and, you know, with the rate of $1.50, three rides, it pays off. They raised it from $4 to $7.
Well, three rides, it still pays off.
Nope.
No. Do your math.
Five rides, it pays off.
Oh.
It takes four rides.
Four rides,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Ah.
And you know, that's a pretty steep, you know, $5 would have been more fair, I think. Maybe even six. I could have seen six. But seven, that's just insane.
That's not nice.
But anyway, I have a question. This is a technical question.
Okay.
All right. I have a Fun Pass now.
Yes.
If I don't use my Fun Pass until May, when the rate has gone up, will it still be a Fun Pass?
I believe it would. Although, hold on.
Okay.
It would not be that difficult for them to turn it off.
How do they just turn it off? And what does it become if they turn it off? I buy a Fun Pass on good faith that I'm going to use it for a day pass. It doesn't say I have to use it by a certain time or day. There's an expiration date on the back, which is about a year from now.
Yeah, that's the expiration date of the card itself. No matter what that card becomes, that card expires on that day and cannot be used in the turn.
So if I was to go out, say, and, you know, to either a news agent or to a machine,
this is why I don't
and buy 100 of these things, would I be insured the $4 rate every day?
Okay. This is why I don't believe that they're going to turn it off, because they're going to have, unless they start now and clear it out totally, they're going to have stuff in the pipeline. They're going to have stuff at non-MTA agents, newsstands and such, out there. And they can't suddenly shut those off, because there will be people who will have bought it without trying to get over.
Right.
If you want to call it that.
Well, I mean, they could do it with the machines pretty easily. They could do something, you know, as far as...
They could easily determine what Fun Passes have been sold by a given time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they can do it so well as to do it midnight when they're increasing the fare. But they could theoretically turn them all off and say, card expired, and just put in all the newspapers and on signs in the subway saying, take this card to a booth for $4 credit.
Mm-hmm.
They could do that, but it would be bad publicity.
Yeah. And wouldn't it be a breach of contract, too?
Wait. Well, this whole plan is bad publicity. I don't think that's their problem.
No, yeah. It would be even worse publicity.
And you know, the same thing holds for monthly passes and weekly passes.
It would be bad publicity. It would be difficult to do. It would be annoying to do. You have the cards in the pipeline. And like you said, it would probably be breach of contract.
Now, wouldn't it be advantageous for them if people suddenly, after hearing this show, rushed out and bought thousands of day passes and monthly passes and weekly? I mean, they'd be getting all this money all of a sudden.
They get all the money all of a sudden, but they lose it.
Yeah, but it's
some
a short-term
people not
gain.
Buying.
It's an investment, you know? It's like a loan, sort of.
Yeah, but look at it this way. Let's assume that you have people... Let's assume a million are sold every day.
Mm-hmm.
At $4, you get $4 million today, $4 million tomorrow, $4 million the next day.
Mm-hmm.
Then all of a sudden it goes up to $7 million, $7 million, $7 million. You do it the other way, you get a big splurge
Mm-hmm. Well, you get a sudden drop-off of ridership, then, which I think is what's going to happen because they raise the rates too much.
But you get a big incoming bunch of money, and then as when it goes up, people, you don't get the 7 million, you get maybe a million, 2 million, because most of those people will have bought it at the $4 rate. So overall, it's not advantageous to them.
Let's see what the official New York City Transit position is, all right? Let's get a dial tone.
I don't think you're getting anybody.
Well, your dialing is not. Okay.
Can't believe I remembered that number, but that's the hotline for the MTA. Of course, you're going to have to deal with computers for a little while. Maybe they haven't thought of this.
Welcome to the MTA New York City Transit Travel Information Line. For information regarding MTA New York City Transit fare increases, please press 1 now.
I'm not going to do that. It's probably just an announcement of some sort.
Okay.
For information about planned subway service detours, press 6.
No. That's not right either.
What happened to 2, 3, 4, and 5?
I don't know. Okay, are there any
other trains? To continue your call with a touch-tone phone, please press the star key now.
Well, I'm not going to do that because he hasn't given me enough choices. And what happens if you don't enter a touch-tone?
We will ask you to continue this call by responding to requests.
Well, his voice went way down.
You must respond by clearly speaking each word after hearing a tone.
Oh, boy.
If you are asked to provide a series of numbers as part of your response, you should clearly pronounce each number of your response after hearing a separate tone.
Can we get on with this?
Main menu. For subway and bus status information, speak the word 1 at the tone. For express bus schedule information, speak the word 2 at the tone.
I have to wait for the tone.
For subway and bus fare information, speak the word 3
at the tone.
For airport information, speak the word 4. At the tone.
Who designs
these? Please hold,
things?
And these options will automatically repeat. Or speak the word 0 to speak with an agent.
0.
You have entered 0.
Yeah.
Please hold while we transfer your call to an agent.
It's also what I think of your system.
Important. We'll be with
Unbelievable.
You momentarily.
Who designs these systems? They're so annoying.
Good evening, Toronto. That's become
a host. Yeah, hi. I have a question. I've got a bunch of day passes. I don't live in the city. I actually I spend most of my time over in Iowa, and I was wondering, after May 1st, will those be any good?
Okay, let's see. Like, how many you have?
I have like about 4, maybe 5.
Let me find out this for you. Can I hold on a minute?
Okay, I can hold.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your call is important. We'll be with you momentarily.
I like how they emphasize is, because I thought it wasn't. All right. Well, they're going.
Iowa.
Ask this. What's wrong with Iowa? We have lots of listeners in Iowa.
You commute, huh?
I spend a lot of time there. It's a nice place. Okay. Iowa City is a great place, in fact. Yes.
With the new Fun Pass rate, if you buy $10 worth of fares, you get one free.
Yes, that's
so
true.
Then if it's five, you need to go. But well, it's five fares. Save money with a fun pass.
We'll be with you momentarily.
It's you have to be a mathematician to figure out what saves money these days.
Well, you get 10% if you spend $10 starting with the fare.
All I know is $4 for a full day was a good deal. $7 is not a good deal.
No,
you have to know that you're gonna be on the subways all day long. Okay, we'll be taking phone calls, 212-209-2900. We're going to give her a couple of minutes to get us an answer. And if she fails in that task, then we're just going to go on without her.
I like the music.
Music is good. Yeah, music is fine.
Thank you for waiting.
Names
Your
and...
call is important. We'll be with you momentarily.
Yeah. Social Security numbers of about 59,000 former and current students, faculty and staff members at the University of Texas... were obtained by computer hackers between February 26th and last Sunday, according to a University of Texas administrator who said this on Wednesday night. Jeff, are you still on the line?
I'm still on the line.
Okay, I'm going to try pressing a button. Tell me if my voice cuts out when
Thank
I press this button.
Waiting.
Okay?
Or
if you stop hearing anything. Are you still able to hear us? Are you still able to hear me?
I don't hear you.
Oh, good. Okay. Okay, well, what we did there, did you hear the whole signal cut out? You heard nothing?
I heard the operator.
Okay, you hear her. Oh, that's good. That way we can...
Yes, sir?
Oh, yes, go ahead.
Thank you much for holding. Okay, after May 1st, you're not going to be able to use them. It's going to be a $7 fan pass.
Well,
so you have to either use them or send them back to MTA requesting a refund.
What's going to happen if I put it in the machine after May 1st?
They're not going to be working.
Will they be worth $4?
$4? It's going to be... No, sir. It's a four, it's unlimited pass.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be... It's not going to be work after May 1st. So you have to either... You would have to either use them all, like, before May 1st, or send them back requesting a refund.
Would I be able to go to the token booth and get a refund there?
No.
Okay, so I'll have to mail them all back.
Right, I can give you the address.
Okay, go ahead.
It would be, okay, MTA New York City Transit.
Mm-hmm.
MetroCard Department.
Okay.
And the address is 370 J Street.
Okay.
7th floor.
Uh-huh.
Brooklyn, New York.
All right.
The zip is 11201.
11201.
That's correct.
Okay.
Okay.
Thanks for the info.
Thank you for calling.
All right. Well, that...
You should have kept her on the line. I have a question.
Well, you should have asked.
Oh.
You were waving around. I didn't know if I was on fire or something. What was your question?
Well, you are wearing a red shirt. The question is, I have a monthly, which expires 5 days after. What are they going to do then?
This is the question that I have. You know, this is what obviously they would tell people. They would tell people this because they don't want people hoarding the cards.
They don't tell people shit. Whoops.
Yeah. Thanks, Jim. We're going to take phone calls. 212-209-2900.
Speaking of rip-offs,
yes.
I received a bill from the Sprint PCS telephone company. You may have heard of them.
Mm-hmm.
For some of the texting that we've been discussing. And the Sprint PCS policy is to charge me 39 cents per minute of the wireless web.
Yeah. Now, that was the little experiment we had when I was over in Buffalo, and we were sending text messages back and forth. I got a bill about that, too, because we were sending messages both from T-Mobile to Sprint back and forth. And as it turns out, basically, if you use a GSM phone, you get charged for sending an SMS message, and I think that's something like 5 cents, if not less. However, when you use Sprint PCS, you have to log on to their wireless web, and that's a time thing. You know, you actually logged onto the web, and they charge you per minute while you're composing a message. It's insane, and they rip people off for a lot that way. So, yeah, I don't recommend it on Sprint. I really don't. Okay, our phone number 212-209-2900. Let's take some phone calls. Jeff, are you still there?
I'm still here, and I wanted to make one comment.
Yes.
I actually found the music that you chose to start off with rather nice.
Well, thank you.
I think more people should, especially young kids, go and see A Clockwork Orange today and let them see the parallels.
Yeah, there are a lot of parallels. Actually, you know, a bit of trivia that was not from Clockwork Orange soundtrack. It was actually from a Kraftwerk CD, which just starts with that. I'm not quite sure how they got away with it because it's obviously taken from the CD of Clockwork Orange, but it's on their CD anyway. But Jeff, I was experimenting with that button because by pressing that button, I'm able to talk without the person on the other end hearing, which is good if you're talking about operators while you're on hold.
I see.
See? So right now, when I press the button, I can talk about you, and you have no idea what I'm saying about you.
I hear nothing.
Yeah, and you see, I can insult you now. I can make fun of you. I can mock you, and you'll never know. And Jeff, it's just so much fun having you on the show. Yeah, so you see how
right. I did not hear that. I'll have to wait till I get home and download it.
Uh-oh, I forgot about that part. Yeah, we do. Okay, Jens, you know what to do. Edit that part out. All right. 212-209-2900. Let's take some phone calls. We'll get some more stories afterwards. Good evening. You're on the air. Go ahead. Yes, go ahead.
I was wanting to talk about...
Oh, I guess he chickened out. It's not that frightening, folks. You know, it's yeah, millions of people are listening, and millions more will listen in the future, but it's not that frightening. Yes, good evening. You're on the air.
Hi. I live near Westchester County Airport.
Uh-huh.
And my son likes to watch the planes land and take off.
Uh-uh.
And, I've been taking him to the airport every Saturday morning, and I park near the terminal, and he kind of on the south side of the terminal, there's a rental car place, and you can walk through the rental car place, and there's a fence, just a fence separating from the tarmac, and he stands there, and I'm waiting for him in my car, at the edge of the terminal, on the side road.
Okay.
And the thing is that I deal in used computers, And Saturday morning, before I take him to the airport, I pick up a supply of computers. And while he's waiting for the planes, I'm going through the car, I'm going through the computers, and nobody has questioned it or anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm standing there for about an hour and a half there doing that. And you'd think that with all the security and everything, and, you know, the wires and what,
well,
the inside of a computer, that someone would come over and ask what I'm doing.
Are you there, like, on a regular basis?
Yes.
Well, maybe they recognize you.
Okay.
Is that possible? I mean, they you know, they might just know who you are.
Yeah, but I was never introduced or anything.
Uh-huh.
It's just puzzling that, that I could do it, especially with the high alert we just had. They, there were more police there these past few Saturdays when the alert color was escalated. And, in fact, one of the roads was sealed off with roadblocks. And
mm-hmm.
And they actually, like, looked into the car and looked in the trunk, and they didn't say anything.
Well, you know, you might you might see that change. I don't know. I don't know what to say. I mean, you know, it's possible that they actually, you know, are looking at you but not questioning you, which is what I think security should be, where they are looking at things but not bothering people. Or, you know, maybe they'll catch up to you someday and start, you know, interrogating you about what you're doing.
Yep.
But
it's just strange. I just thought I'd let you know.
Okay.
Hey, thanks.
Thanks. 213-209-2900. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, yeah. I had a crazy thing happen to me at the airport. I didn't know that. I had my ticket and everything. I didn't know that you're forced to show ID. And so I had in my carry-on luggage, I had thesis papers by students that I teach and a whole just bunch of papers, stuff like that. And so I get to the guy says to me, he goes, I can't let you on the plane because you don't have any ID. And he said, I said, well, come on, I got to get to Detroit. And he said, what do you have to prove that you're not crazy or something? So I said, well, I have student feces in here. And he said, why would you be carrying student feces?
Well, that's what I thought you said, too.
Well, but it was really...
You said thesis, T-H-E,
no, it was thesis.
Right.
And it was one of those moments where the look on his face, I knew I couldn't laugh because he was dead serious. And he wanted to, like, find Petri dishes in there or something.
Uh-huh.
So I kind of had to, like, you know, take it very slow. And I said, oh, no, these are papers written by students. But then when I went, so he let me on the plane. Then the way back, that was all put into the computer.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to, like, go through. I had to have a whole bunch of people from the school that I had gone out to give the talk. I had to give to say that I wasn't crazy.
This is why? Because you didn't have ID?
Yeah, because I just had the ticket, and uh-huh. I didn't have the ID, yeah.
I think you have to show ID no matter what these days, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, you do now.
Yeah.
You didn't
I'm surprised you got on at all if you didn't have any ID.
Well, it was the student feces help, I guess.
Well, yeah, I guess if you go around carrying student feces, yeah, you'll be fine if you do that, but...
it was nuts. That look he got on his face when he said it, I thought, I'm in trouble.
Well, there's material there for a good sketch on Saturday night or something.
It was crazy.
Yeah. All right, well, stay safe.
Okay, thanks.
All right. 212-209-2900. Let's take some more phone calls. And good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I wanted to know, do they ask Grandpa when he goes into the building there for ID? Because everybody knows who he is.
In the building here?
Yes.
I don't know. You know, it's a good thing to watch.
No, but anyway,
it's funny because you know we had a guy downstairs that was so anal about this that you would have to show your ID every time you came in, even if you came in every day, even if you came in three times a day, and he's no longer around.
And some of them they're very cool, you know. But anyway, yeah. This thing about the gardener.
Yeah.
This happened some years ago, way before 9/11, and I think he was black. But the thing was. That I don't know if it was mentioned because I just got in, the people there at the airport, they was the one, they get a cut from whatever it is that they confiscate. Did you mention that or no?
Not, well, I wasn't aware of that they
oh, yeah,
get a
cut. Oh,
yeah,
that's the point. So then when you go, even if you're a drug dealer or whoever it is that has excess money, apart from this legitimate person, because he was buying plants and flowers, and you do need, you know, cash. The other day, there was a gambler. They stopped him. and he had a lot of money, but I think they you know, he proved or something like that, and they didn't take his money. But the thing with the airport is, and I heard either on BAR or another station, but I think, you know, it's always your station, he bought the ticket for cash.
Mm-hmm.
So he pulled out the money, and then, you know, the eyes popped up. And then they you know, they flagged him, literally and figuratively speaking.
Uh-huh.
And that's how they took the money. And then he's not the only one. This has gone to court constantly with people who have a lot of money to fight this, you know, because these are not the only person who's been caught.
Uh-huh.
Him. And everybody loses. So, you know, it's what can I tell you? What kind of place it is that you can't carry money around?
Mm-hmm.
And
well, you know, I like to organize something where, you know, people just use cash and nothing else for like maybe a month, and see just how crazy that makes everybody.
Right, and it depends. You know, if you're from Arkansas and you pull out $1,000, maybe that's a whole lot of money. But in New York, it wouldn't be. I don't know. You know, because do they say how much can you carry?
Mm-hmm.
That's what bothers me. But it's a great show. And
yep. Well, let's ask the Department of the Treasury, you know, say, how much money can I carry on the...
Except...
what's legal?
Right, except Bush's friends, they can carry millions of dollars offshore and not pay taxes.
Mm-hmm.
There's no problem with that. And the money that the CIA and the Pakistani government gave to the guy before they knocked down the towers, he, you know, the CIA guy who was over here, by the way, and he mailed that to one of the persons who knocked over the towers, and out of embarrassment, they had to he quit. So I mean, that's you know, open situation in terms of giving monies to people who happen 2 or 3 days later to knock over the, well, you know, millions, and there's no problem with that. It's just the hardworking people who get shafted. So I enjoy your show constantly, and I've seen you in Jersey and stuff like that, and you're real cool, and the other guy's there too.
Okay, thanks.
And send in your money to BAI, because otherwise, when they close the station, you won't be able to hear a program like this. People.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thanks. It sounds like a mob is catching up to him. Okay. Jim, yes.
Just to act as the institutional memory here, we did talk about that landscaper years ago. I think Fiber was still in jail at the time we mentioned it.
Mm-hmm.
So if anybody wants to go back through the archives, feel free.
Yeah, yeah. Well, carrying money has always been a dangerous thing. Let's see. Is that relevant? Because I want to take some more calls.
It's very fast.
Okay.
It's basically in Amarillo, Texas, I believe, the ASCAP, the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers,
uh-huh,
are suing nightclubs for playing music.
For playing what music?
Music specifically by Lenny Kravitz and Madonna. Because
I agree with that.
But I'm saying that I've read that they're going after a crap load of nightclubs.
Uh-huh.
As in, so now you have to get specific licenses to play certain music in a...
So if you play Lenny Kravitz or Madonna
in a nightclub, public space,
someone other than the clientele are going to be upset at you.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's news. 212-209-2900. Let's take a couple of more calls. And good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, excellent.
How you doing?
All right, let me turn the radio down here. Okay, now, regarding the airport, what can I answer for you? Let me tell you some things. The most common item confiscated when they wand you and they're trying to bring on carry-on baggage,
mm-hmm,
because I'm the person who goes up and empties the box of all the confiscated items.
Oh, really?
Cool. And the most common item that's confiscated is cuticle scissors.
Is that so?
And down in our area, in our work area,
mm-hmm,
there's a box that probably has about a couple thousand pairs of cuticle scissors.
Uh-huh. Do you have a policy about Altoid boxes? Because so many times they have not opened my Altoid box, you know?
Well, I think that goes along the lines of when a cop looks in the window of your car and stops you and he sees like a little 35-millimeter film canister, you know.
Yeah.
That's where that fits in. But, no, then the second most common item, I think, is probably... a small pocket knife, and the most common pocket knife is the little Swiss Army knife. The smallest variety list price in a camera shop recently I checked in at,
mm-hmm,
was $17.60, but they had models that ran $70 and $80, and I've seen those also confiscated, so it's quite an item. And then I would say the third most common item is the corkscrew remover, like you see a waiter would have at a restaurant where,
uh-huh,
you open your wine bottle.
Yeah.
You know, the cork remover.
Uh-huh.
That variety with the little flip, you know, multi-purpose tool. And, let's see, what else might be in there? Well, ordinary scissors, like cutting scissors, like you would use for paper.
Now, are you with TSA?
No. TSA puts it in a box, and then I go up there and empty the box.
That's what you do. You empty the box.
Well, that's not my only job. Okay. I mean, that's great.
Well, I wouldn't want to belittle your job, but...
I go up there, you know,
but I'm just wondering, why can't TSA do that? Why can't they empty the box?
I guess because George Bush is looking at him, but, you know, Big Brother, John Ashcroft, is peeping over their shoulders. Uh-huh. You know, they're not allowed to be unionized. And then let's see. Okay, now, the area where they check your luggage, they use a very powerful X-ray machine, and... it actually can show the stripes on the money.
Really?
Yes.
It can show it, but can it read it? Can it detect that a lot of stripes are there?
Yes. I don't know exactly what the picture looks like. If you probably got into it, they can store the pictures in memory, so I'm certain that they have some recordings of you know, samples that they have detected, but they can detect bundles of bills. And those bags, of course, they'll open up.
Uh-huh.
You know, and then the interesting thing is when the luggage comes through, let's say there's a knife in the luggage, okay?
We got to make this fast. We're down to our last 30 seconds.
Okay, well, it shows it in profile. No matter which way the knife is orientated in the luggage, the computer within the X-ray machine always shows it in a profile, so it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And
what's the weirdest thing someone has tried to bring through that you remember? I heard some guy had a trailer hitch confiscated.
No, I, you know, at the wanding area.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. You know, I mean, you'd have to. I mean, yeah, we'd have to get the guy a call in from the. You know, the strangest thing: an Egyptian who was in charge of the machine, a student, an Egyptian student here with a green card with a working permit in charge of the machine x-raying all the baggage that was going through the conveyor system. Yeah, that's probably the weirdest.
That was weird?
Before the TSA took over.
Okay.
All right.
Why was that weird?
Well, it wasn't weird to me, but I mean, it would be weird to, you know, some fanatic like Ashcroft.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
You know?
Good point. Anyway, listen, thanks for the call. And
okay,
thanks for giving us that information. It's fascinating stuff and proof that BAI listeners are all over the place. That's it for us this week. We'll be back again next week. This program, Reminder Off the Wall, is the other program that we stream on our website. It's on Tuesdays at 7 on the other radio station, WUSB. And they're having a fundraiser next week, and we would like participation in that. We'd like participation in phone calls, because a lot of online people there listen to the show. So remember, that's on Tuesdays at 7. You can get that on www.2600.com. Jeff, see you here in the studio next week?
That's my plan. Thanks for letting me play this week.
All right, then.
Interesting.
We'll see you then. For everybody else, have a good night.
New Jersey listeners are invited to meet with new WBAI General Manager Don Rojas on Thursday, March 13th at the Abyssinian Church, 224 West Kinney Street in Newark, New Jersey. The meeting starts at 7 p.m. Join Don in his first visit with New Jersey listeners to discuss his vision of WBAI as People's Radio for Peace and Justice. Don will be introduced by Larry Hamm of the People's Organization for Progress, which will host the meeting. Co-sponsors include the New Jersey Concerned Friends of WBAI, New Jersey Peace Action, and the Green Party of New Jersey. Once again, come meet with BAI General Manager Don Rojas on Thursday, March 13th at 7 p.m. in Newark at the Abyssinian Church, 224 West Kinney Street. For detailed directions, call 973-763-9493. That's 973-763-9493.